Now, if you do have your Bible with you this morning, then please do turn back to Matthew chapter 3 in particular as we look at this passage together. Now today, as I said to the children, marks the second Sunday in Advent. And Advent, of course, is all about counting down, and it's all about preparation, isn't it? And at this time of year, we all have preparations to be made. We have to prepare putting up the Christmas tree, which means getting the decorations down from the loft. They're always in the most inaccessible part of the loft as well, aren't they? See, all the ladies are looking at their husbands thinking, oh yeah, you need to go and do that. You've got to prepare the Christmas tree, bring it down, get all the branches together, and we get the lights. And the lights never work, do they? And you've got to buy new lights. That's always what happens. It means buying gifts, doesn't it? And wrapping them. Preparation means buying food, preparing the turkey, making sure everything is in place. It's a time of preparation. Now, as well as being a time where we prepare for the Christmas celebrations, it's also a time when we prepare our own hearts, isn't it? Because we know that Christmas isn't just about the cultural aspects. It's about much more than that. That it's about Jesus coming into the world as the Savior of the world, coming as our Savior to pay for our sin. That's what Christmas is truly all about. Now, sometimes we have so much going on, especially at this time of year, and we saw it with how many intimations we had this morning, that we lose focus, that this is what Christmas is all about. It's all about Jesus. But the beauty of Advent and these Advent Sundays is that it allows us to think and to reflect and to pray and to ask ourselves in our heart whether we are prepared. Not just prepared with the Christmas tree and the lights and the gifts, but whether we are prepared in our hearts. And prepared deep in our souls. Now last week Brian led you through the second coming, that time when Jesus will come again in glory. And the real focus in that passage is on being ready. Making sure that when Jesus returns that our hearts are in the right place with him. Because we don't know the day and we don't know the hour. Now this week, the focus is slightly different because the focus is upon the one who prepared the way for Jesus. The focus is upon John the Baptist. He's the one who prepares the way. You see, it's John the Baptist who gets the people ready to receive Jesus. He's the warm-up act, if you want to put it in those terms. It's John the Baptist who makes it clear that the kingdom of heaven is now near. Remember, the people have been waiting for centuries, waiting for a Messiah to come. And here's John in the desert, and he's saying, now the kingdom of heaven is near. Someone is coming, and he's coming soon. Now, of course, it had been prophesied through Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 40, that someone would come to prepare the way before Jesus. And here in Matthew's Gospel, we see that that person is John the Baptist. And John is quite a striking man. When you read through this passage and heard Lynn reading it for us today, John is quite a striking man, isn't he? There he is, powerfully preaching on the banks of the River Jordan, in the wilderness of Judea outside Jerusalem. John, this man dressed like Elijah, eating the simple, austere fare of wilderness dwellers, locusts and wild honey. So there's John, out in the wilderness, preaching, eating locust and wild honey, looking like quite a wild man. And John has a particular role to play when it comes to preparing the people to receive Jesus. And his message, the message that he's out there proclaiming is very direct, isn't it? When you read it and when you see it in this passage this morning. Because there's John on the side of the River Jordan, looking a bit like a wild man, and his message is quite a direct message. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. That is his message. That is his only message, incidentally. Repent. That's John's message. And many come out to John from Jerusalem and all Judea. And what do? Well, they do repent. They confess their sins, which is a sign of repentance, and they are baptized. Hence why John is known as John the Baptist. Baptism, of course, signifies dying to sin and spiritual cleansing. So the people were coming out, crowds of people coming out from Jerusalem, Judea, coming out to hear this man. He's saying, repent, and the people do repent. They confess their sins and they are baptized. Baptism signifies change. Change in someone's life. That they're leaving behind their old way of life and moving on to a new way of life. Repent. That's John's message. And of course, when Jesus started his own ministry, his message is identical to John's. What's the very first thing that comes out of Jesus' mouth? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. The baton's just passed on from John to Jesus. And actually, what we need to realize here in this place this morning is that that message has not changed. You see, our life can only truly change when we repent before a holy and an almighty God. That's what he requires from us, that we repent, that we turn from our sin, and we put our faith and trust in Jesus, the one who has come as the Savior of the world. Repentance, turning away from our sin, is the only way for our life to change. And putting our faith in Jesus is the only way, the only truth, the only way to life. There is no other way. You see, when the people came and repented and they were baptized by John, their life was changing. It wasn't changing in that they were endeavoring to work harder at being good people. Their life was changing because they were being prepared for the coming of a Messiah. One who was coming, who is greater than John, more powerful, who would baptize not just with water, but with the Holy Spirit and fire. We too need to repent. Because as we see, there were some who came out to see John at the River Jordan who did not repent. And when you think about it, actually, when you look at this passage this morning, it's surprising that those who came out to see John didn't repent. Because they are the very ones who should have repented. Because as well as the people coming out to see John, who else comes out to see John? It's the religious authorities. They are the very ones you would expect to be responsive to John's message. The very ones you would expect that would repent. And yet they don't. You see, the religious leaders who come out to see John the Baptist are firstly the Pharisees. And the Pharisees scrupulously obeyed the biblical laws and the traditions. And the other group, secondly, were the Sadducees. And they were the ones who tended to have the authority. The ones who were in the majority among the temple authorities. And they were willing to kind of compromise on a number of things to try and accommodate Rome to keep the peace in many ways. Now what we need to be aware of is that both sets of these religious leaders, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, were not coming out to the River Jordan to be baptized by John. What were they coming to do? They were coming out to check on John. Check up on John. You see, they were probably wondering, they probably heard, you know, people saying, oh, isn't it great, this man out in the desert, what a powerful message he's got. And so they go out to see what this strange man, John the Baptist, is doing in the desert. What he's teaching. What he's doing, baptizing people. And so they go out to check on John. Now what's even more surprising here is John's reaction to the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming out to the Jordan to listen to him. Because you may have expected, you know, John's like, oh, it's great. You know, great to have the Pharisees out here, you know. And you maybe want to listen to this message that I'm going to give to you. Sadducees, you know you're in the temple authorities, you know, it's great, thank you for coming out, you know. This is what you need to do and just be baptized and we'll be fine. You might have expected some kind of warmer welcome than John gives them. You might have expected some kind of respect of some type, but there's none of that. His greeting is, you brood of vipers. Wow. That's some greeting, isn't it? You brood of vipers. Now the reason that John greets them this way is because he knows that these Pharisees and Sadducees haven't come out to see him for the right reasons. They haven't come out to repent at all. And though they might be sticklers for the rules, John knows that their hearts are not in the right place, that their lifestyle does not demonstrate repentance. They are religious, but they are far from God. And these Pharisees and Sadducees are very much in danger of relying on their background, relying on their ancestry only when it comes to relating to God, rather than truly repenting. Because the fact that they are Abraham's children is no defense for these Pharisees and Sadducees, as John makes clear. They are in danger of coming under God's judgment. Now as we move into Advent, there is an important message for us here, isn't there? You see, just because we come to church, or just because we do good things, does not mean that we are necessarily in the right place with God. I speak to people often who say, you know, I'm a good person, I just hope God will accept me. Well, you've got it completely wrong. That's not what Christianity is about at all. You see, this is John's point, isn't it? He's trying to stir the Pharisees and the Sadducees from their apathy, or at least thinking they are righteous because of all they do and the laws that they keep. Because the fact is that their hearts are not in the right place. You see, repentance means not merely assent to Christian things. It means a radical change to our life as a whole, forsaking sin and coming to God. That's what it means. Because there is none of us righteous. All of us are spiritually bankrupt before a holy God. There is no one who can stand before God and say, look at my heritage. Look at my good deeds. Look at my service as an elder. Look at my time, length of time I've been a church member. Because that's pathetic before a holy God. None of that counts. Because when we come before a holy God, we have nothing to bring. Nothing. Because we are sinners, every one of us, and we need God's grace. We need God to intervene in our situation because we cannot earn our salvation. You see, the people came from Jerusalem and Judea. They came and they repented. The Pharisees and the Sadducees were too proud to do so. They thought they could do it in their own strength. Look how good I am. Look at all my deeds. And John warns them, they're in danger because God's judgment is coming. Now, for us, at this time of Advent, this time of preparation, it's important for us to examine our own hearts and ask the question, am I trusting in myself for my own salvation? Or am I humble enough to recognize that I need a Savior? That I need Jesus? Because the fact is, if we think that God will accept us by our own good works and our own reputation, then Christmas has no meaning. No meaning whatsoever. Because it means that we don't need a Savior. You might as well not celebrate Christmas. But God, in His great mercy, in His compassion, in His love, sent Jesus into the world. Is that not wonderful? You see, he is the one that John the Baptist points to. The one who came into the world as a helpless babe, was laid in a manger in Bethlehem. And yet the one whose winnowing fork is in his hand, because he will separate the wheat from the chaff, the righteous from the wicked, a picture of the judgment to come and the reality of heaven and hell. Now this should not scare us, but rather it should stir us into action. You see, why did Jesus come into the world? He came to save us. That's what his name means, as I shared with the children this morning. To save us from sin. To save us from the coming wrath. To save us from an eternity away from God. But let's not misunderstand. God wants us to come to him. He is desperate for you to come to him, to come into a relationship with him. He wants us to experience his love. He wants to save us. And he gave us a savior. That's the wonder of Christmas, isn't it? You see, if God was only a God of judgment, he would never have sent Jesus. But God is a God of love. And he sent Jesus into the world for our sin, that we might be forgiven. Jesus, the root of Jesse, as it says in Isaiah, and his resting place will be glorious, as a reading said from Isaiah. And so as we come into this season, and as we prepare ourselves for the coming of Jesus, John the Baptist and his message asks questions that pierces our very souls. Where are we with God? Are we really relying on God alone, or are we trusting in ourselves? Have we really, truly repented? You see, we might have sat here in this place for weeks, for months, for years, and we enjoy the services, we enjoy the fellowship, we enjoy the singing, but we know deep in our hearts, deep in our souls, that we're not right with God. We know that there's something missing in our lives. And maybe it seems, as you look around, you think, you know, are there people here that seem to have something in my life, in their lives, that's missing from my own? A peace. A faith that seems real. A faith that seems vibrant. But if we're honest with ourselves, we don't know if we have that. John's message and Jesus' message is a message of repentance. Of admitting that we are sinners who need God's mercy, who need God's grace. Sinners who need Jesus. Because it's through Jesus dying on the cross that we know forgiveness for our sin. It's through his resurrection that we know newness of life and life everlasting with God. And all we have to do is come before God in repentance, confessing our sins, saying, I can't do this in my own. I understand I am a sinner. I have let you down, Almighty God. Recognizing our need of God and believing and trusting in Jesus as our Savior, as our Lord. And once we've believed and trusted in Jesus, seeking in our life to do all we can to serve him and to honor him. You see, the fact is, who do you think was better placed to receive Jesus after receiving John's message? Do you think it was the Sadducees and the Pharisees? The religious who should have heeded John's warning but who didn't? Or do you think it was the people? The people who confessed their sins, who repented, and who were baptized? It's pretty obvious, isn't it? What the answer is, it's the people. And so I simply ask you today, in response to this message, are you willing to trust in the Lord rather than in yourself? Because as you do, you will experience the love of God. You will experience the grace that is shown by God. He will experience the mercy that He has for each one of us. You see, what's Christmas all about? It's not really about the Christmas tree and the writing of the cards and the gifts and all these things. It's about celebrating Jesus, the very Savior that we need, that we can receive just by repentance and faith. What will you do today? Will you go home from this place and say, well, enjoyed the singing today, enjoyed the fellowship? Or will you go home, if you're already a believer today, and say, I'm so grateful, Lord God, for sending Jesus as my Savior. And Lord God, I recognize I'm a sinner. I need to repent each and every day. But I thank you there is forgiveness in Jesus. Or maybe today you recognize, you know, I've never really believed in Jesus. I've always trusted in myself. I thought it was all about good deeds, living a good life, you know, staying up to a certain level. None of us is righteous. Not even one. That's what it says in Romans. All of us fall short of the glory of God. We all need a Savior. Maybe this Christmas, for the first time, you'll understand what all this is about and you'll put your faith and trust in Jesus. And you'll have the best Christmas that you've ever had. So let's heed this message this morning. What's John's message and Jesus after him? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Shall we just pray together? Let's pray. Loving Lord God, as we think about this passage today, what a sight it must have been to see John there on the banks of the River Jordan, outside Jerusalem, in the wilderness, preaching this strong message, calling the people to repentance. And we thank you for the people that came. The people that came and confessed their sin and were baptized, prepared for the Savior who was to come. Lord God, we pray that we would be like those people, that as we hear that message of repentance, that we would recognize that in and of ourselves that we are spiritually bankrupt, that we have nothing to bring to you. As the hymn says, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. And Lord God, we recognize our need of the cross this day. We recognize our need for the Lord Jesus. And we recognize that Christmas is all about Jesus coming into the world. If we think we're righteous in and of ourselves, there's no reason for Jesus to come. But the fact that we are sinners means that we need a Savior. And we thank you, Lord God, that in your love, in your compassion, in your grace, you gave Jesus as the Savior of the world, our Savior, the Savior of anyone who believes and trusts in him. We thank you, Lord God, that when we believe in Jesus, then we can be assured that our sins are forgiven and that we can come to you, that we can come into your very presence and we can know a newness of life, life in all its fullness, life everlasting. Loving Lord God, we pray that we would be responsive to your message this day, that we wouldn't be like the Sadducees and the Pharisees, but rather we would be like the people and we recognize that in Jesus there is a Messiah who we can trust, a powerful Messiah. And in Jesus there is a Savior, the Savior of the world. So loving Lord God, may we have hearts which are responsive to you this day, we pray. For we pray these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.